White Rocket Entertainment.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition. 2, 1, 0, we have a liftoff. We have a liftoff and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center. The Saturn V is moving off the pad. It is now clear of the tower.
Hello and welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, and now to White Rocket TV, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the Earth Station One Network. It's one long conversation with a variety of guests about the best of popular culture. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and this week, I'm again joined by my co-host on the AU Wishbone Show, the wildly popular, and also on YouTube, AU Wishbone Show, and our semi-regular co-host on this show, particularly when we talk about James Bond, John Ringer. Welcome back aboard the show, John, and good to see you again.
Thanks for having me, Van. Very excited to be here to talk about James Bond movies again.
Yeah, this is like episode 7 in our three-part James Bond series. Well, like I say, remember what they said about Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? It said something like, this is volume 5 in his increasingly misnamed trilogy. That sums it up, you know? That really sums it up. All right. Well, we are here on our 90th episode. This is White Rocket 90. We only have 9 more to go before we get to big number 100. And I'm still trying to figure out what to do for episode 100. I'm thinking of getting audio clips from a whole bunch of people that have been on the show before in the past and have you on there and maybe have a couple other people and have an interesting thing. So we'll be looking forward to that coming up probably in about, 2 months, 3 months, something like that, we'll have our 100th show. Man, who'd have thought it? When you and I started the Wishbone in 2012, and I started this show, and I've had you and a bunch of other people on, I don't know if I thought it would make it through the rest of 2012, much less, you know, well into its fourth calendar year, that's right. So pretty amazing. So and now we're on video. Okay. Well, in this episode, as we, I think, alluded to a second ago, at least in our beginning, we're going to talk about the opening action sequences in all 24 Bond films. So we need to get rock and rolling because that's 24 movies to cover in an hour. Some of them we got more to say about, I'm sure. Some we have a little bit less to say about. But I thought this would be a fun thing because if there's one thing I've enjoyed doing with John, it is ranking things and discussing them. We did our favorite movies. We did Bond villains. We've done several things where we kind of bounce back and forth and rank. And I find the two and talk about something else that's kind of fun with James Bond. So without further ado, John and I have discussed this a little bit, but I think we should do like we did before and start at the bottom.
Bottom is fine.
Okay. I don't know how you ranked them. What I did was make groups of 4. I made 6 groups of 4.
Well, that's what we talked about, so that's what I did.
Okay. So we've got out of the 24, and we're talking about the Eon movies, the Broccoli and Salzman and Michael, what's his name, that's the current, you know, producer as well, and Barbara Broccoli. We're not talking about Never Say Never Again. We're not talking about the old Casino Royale, anything like that. We're talking about the 24 canonical, you know, Eon-produced James Bond, starting with Dr. No and ending with Spectre so far. So, let's get on into it. In the bottom group of 4, I'm going to start at the very bottom, and then you go, and we can kind of alternate. We can change up who goes first and all that. You ready?
Go.
Let's rock and roll. For me, the number 24 out of 24, the worst of the opening sequences pre-title, is For Your Eyes Only.
What? Now,
All right, I think I'm going to have to get a nice beverage here. I got some, tonight we're doing the Minute Maid Pink Lemonade. This is what my wife got me at Casey's just now, so that's what I'll be drinking. So while John is gawking incredulously at the screen, I can see him, but you can't, folks.
I like that one. Okay.
Now, see, this is funny. Wait a minute, this is funny. When we did the villains, we almost agreed all the way down the list. It was amazing, right? I mean, yeah. We had almost the same. The differences were very minor.
I don't think that'll be the case this time.
We've already got a major. I don't think this is carbonated. Oh, Lord. We've already got a major difference. Okay. So let me tell you why I have it there. And when you get to that movie, you can give the case for it. Okay. So I'll tell you why I have it here, and then you'll take your turn and you do your 24th. All right. I have it down that low for one simple reason. Because I appreciate them trying to go back and revisit the Tracy Bond, you know, killed in the 1969 on Her Majesty's Secret Service. I do. I appreciate that. I thought that was good. But it's done in such a Roger Moore way. They take this deadly serious killing of Tracy in on Her Majesty's Secret Service, and they turn it into a helicopter stunt, dropping Blofeld down a chimney, going, Mr. Bond, Mr. Bond. I just felt like it demeaned the whole thing with Tracy and everything. I mean, and they should have done it years earlier. That should have been the beginning of Diamonds Are Forever, you know, rather than that. So it's got some cute moments to it. I like that he's at the cemetery. I even like that they have the right years on the headstone. It ends in 1969. That's the year that movie came out. So there's some things I like about it, but overall I just felt like it was a silly, offhanded treatment of a very serious topic. Okay. Is there anything you want to address directly, or you want to save it for when you get to that
one? I'll save it.
Okay. So that's my number 24, For Your Eyes Only. This is where Bond in the helicopter is the remote control helicopter. I guess we should describe these very quickly. And Blofeld tries to crash him into something, and Bond takes over the helicopter, scoops Blofeld up in his wheelchair and drops him down a chimney of a factory. And fortunately, the little evil white Spectre kitty jumped off his lap before he got scooped up. So the kitty is still on the loose. The kitty did not get destroyed when Blofeld did. All right, you're number 24.
It wasn't hard for me. Die Another Day, the North Korean captured torture.
Man, that's the best part of that movie.
And?
I liked it, though, because I liked seeing Bond in DMZ, you know, and all that.
I didn't enjoy it.
Okay, so this is the one where he's like, there's a chase on hovercraft through the DMZ. He's captured, like, going over the precipice or whatever. He's tortured by scorpions and stuff, right?
Yep.
Pierce Brosnan with a beard and the long hair and all, looking all gaunt. Didn't like it.
No.
All right, moving on. Number 23 for me is Dr. No. And that's really not so much the fault of anything particular other than it was the first movie and they hadn't really worked out the formula yet. So if you look at it, if you go back and watch Dr. No, there is no pre-title sequence on Dr. No. So basically you get the little boop, 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 with the lights, you know, the which eventually became the white circles going across, you know, da-da, boom, da-da, comes that. So I kind of counted the three blind mice hitmen killing Strangways and his secretary as basically the pre-title sequence. And I mean, it's just three guys shooting two innocent people in their living room. So yeah, not so much.
I get that one.
Okay. 23 for you.
Octopussy.
Really? Yeah. Man, this is blowing my mind. We are really seeing in different ways on these. All right, the beginning of Octopussy, you've got Bond and some woman, I believe a Latina, right? A Hispanic woman. and they are driving like through the countryside with a horse trailer. And Bond disguises himself as some kind of a Latin American soldier and gets revealed, and then he ends up flying his little mini jet, right?
Which is in the horse trailer.
Right. The horse's rear end comes up.
And the plane is in there, which is that's fine, that's cute, whatever. But also, it's very Roger Moore, and there's again, we got a guy in a clown costume killed by the knife-throwing guys, which that's the other part of that I just hated.
That's true. Everything clown-related in Octopussy, I hate.
No clown. Yes.
No.
That's the part that I had a problem with.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. I don't have these numbered, so I'm going to have to, let's say 24, 23. So number 22 for me, and this is similar to For Your Eyes Only at 24, because it's what it's about rather than maybe what it is or isn't, is Diamonds Are Forever. This is the one where Bond is in Blofeld's mud volcano plastic.
We're going to disagree on these.
And basically, Bond kills one Blofeld and drowns another one in mud. And again, this is the next movie after Tracy dies in On Her Majesty's Secret Service. And it's, once again, it's kind of a not so serious flip way of dealing with Tracy's death, that he's out there trying to get revenge on Blofeld, and it just turns into a mud pie fight. So
he straps him to a gurney and sinks him into a boiling hot mud bath and says, you know, like, welcome to hell, Blofeld. I mean, I thought that was revenge. I thought it was good revenge. So I like that. I don't know.
Yeah, he does something like, welcome to hell, Blofeld, or something. Yeah, he does say something
that
like
that. That was pretty close.
It helps that it's Sean Connery, right? It gets a few bonus points for being Sean Connery. Right? Uh-huh. Okay. Right. That's 22. You're 22.
World Is Not Enough.
All right, hold on. Wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. Wait. All right, hold on. I gotta check something. Oh my goodness. Unbelievable.
We're disagreeing.
Oh my goodness. All right. Go ahead and tell us why that one is down here in the bottom group. Mm.
Again, hot air balloon over, the Millennium Dome, and, you know, boat chasing the Thames and stuff. I didn't love it.
Wait till you see where I have that one.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, for those of you out there looking on video, I've got my Drax Enterprises Corporation. Expect to see this one, but it'll be a while, okay, before you see this one. All right. John probably has it next, okay?
I'm moving it down as we speak.
Yeah, I love this shirt. This one my wife gave me for Christmas last year. It's got the Moonraker. Those that are not watching on video, I have the Drax Industries logo, Drax Enterprises Corporation logo on my shirt. So I've always wanted so much to go to Dragon Con and have the that sort of yellow goldish metallic track suit that Roger Moore and Lois Childs wore in Moonraker.
Yes.
I want that so bad. I want to make that so bad. I just want to get like a yellow Adidas tracksuit and put the Moonraker patch like on it, you know, and maybe somebody to sew some silver stuff on the sleeve, make it look 1979. Wouldn't be that hard, you know. All right. I need a watch that shoots darts. God, I love that watch. My favorite gimmick. I guess we're going to have to rate the gimmicks, you know, the gadgets one of these days. All right. So let's see. 24. All right, this is the last one in the bottom group. So this is number 21 for me. License to Kill. This is the one where Felix is getting married to the girl from Three's Company, and they're attacked by a drug lord.
I forgot that's who it was.
Priscilla Barnes, right? And they're attacked by a drug lord, and I believe that Bond, which is Timothy Dalton, my least favorite Bond, doesn't he do something like hook a hook with a cable onto the plane and they drag the plane?
Yeah, that did gets into the wedding.
Yeah, yeah, the wedding. That did very, very little for me.
You know what my one is in the same spot? License yes, to what? Kill.
Really? Yes. Okay, we finally found some agreement. So tell me what do you not like about it?
I agree. I mean, it's this whole like you got to get them to the church on time kind of cheesy thing they do, and it didn't do much for me.
No, I don't like that movie very much. Honestly, I don't like Dalton. I don't like that movie. I don't like that opening sequence. There's not a lot about it to like. Okay, we go into the fifth group. So we're to number 20. This will be 17, 18, 19, and 20. My number 20, and this one I only vaguely remember because I watched this movie as seldom as possible. I only watched this movie when Mira and I are doing our marathon, and we are currently about 10 minutes from the end of Octopussy, so we haven't gotten to it yet, but it's from A View to a Kill. The opening sequence of A View to a Kill, all I remember is that Bond and some girl are on a fake iceberg that's like a submarine. And I think it's the best part of the movie, honestly. But I don't remember much else about it. What do you remember anything about that when you have it on there somewhere? I'm sure you have it on there somewhere.
It's coming up.
Okay, we'll talk more about it.
I believe this one, it's the submarine disguised as an iceberg, but he starts out in Russia and there's a dead agent that he takes something off of, and he gets chased by some Soviet troops. And he kind of snow skis away, and then the other part that gets cheesy is that he takes a you ride on it in the snow. It's got a motor
snowmobile.
He takes a snowmobile away, and then it gets blown up, and then he takes the front of the snowmobile off and snowboards on it, and they play the Beach Boys. While he snowboards down the hill.
How many otherwise decent moments in Roger Moore, James Bond movies were ruined by the sound effects or the music they played?
It just, when he gets on the snowboard and they start playing the Beach Boys, you're like, okay.
Yeah, you know, in so many movies they do that, right? In Octopussy, when he swings on the vines, they do the Tarzan yell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. In The Man with the Golden Gun, when he does the jump of the car, they do the whoop, you know. Just there's so many moments that if they would have just played it straight, it would have been cool, but they ruin it with goofy sound effects. Or with somebody going, you know, the double take. Mm-hmm. They even had the pigeon do the double take once. Remember the pigeon did the double take? I think that was in Moonraker. The pigeon goes oh, man. You know, I love Roger Moore. I love him to death, but there's just moments in his movies you wish you could just take an axe to, you know, just chop those parts out. Wow, I'd forgotten about the the Beach Boys.
So that one's actually next for me. It's 19. I'm not going to spoil it here. View to a Kill.
Oh, okay. Well, and the thing is, like I said, that's probably the best part of that movie. And remember, folks, do you remember this? We talked about this last year. How old was Roger Moore in A View to a Kill?
I 58 or something.
Yes, 58. They should. You can tell with For Your Eyes Only that was a movie where they were going to bring in a new actor. If they had brought in a new actor and all we had of Roger Moore was the 70s, right? We'd have Live and Let Die, Man with the Golden Gun, Spy Who Loved Me, and Moonraker. That would be a great body of work. But because they kept him around for three more movies, we get Octopussy and A View to a Kill. And we get the uber creepy 54-year-old Bond with BB the snow, the skater in A View to a Kill.
He could be our grandfather.
Oh, Lord. I know it. I know it. Man. Okay. So that was my number 20. Did you do your number 20?
I did not. It's Living Daylights. With Timothy Dalton, the Gibraltar, the guy comes down and kills the other 00 agent.
Right.
During a training exercise.
The only thing I remember about that one is they were on Gibraltar climbing on the mountain and everything. I have very vague memories of that whole sequence, but I think I have it higher than this though. But
I mean, it's not bad. There's some good action in it, but it's kind of blah. A lot of it revolves around Dalton kind of riding on the back of a truck as the guy drives down the mountain. So,
right. Yeah. I'm like I said, I'm not a big Dalton fan, so I have no problem with ranking any of his stuff low. Let's see, number 19. My number 19, and I hate to have it here, but it just shows my disappointment with a movie that could have been so much better, is The Man with the Golden Gun. I like the idea, okay? I like the idea of Scaramanga. I love Scaramanga. I love Christopher Lee. I love the idea of Scaramanga having like a funhouse maze, like Arcade's Murder World in the old X-Men comics where he drags you in and you go through mirrors and mazes and he's trying to kill you. That's great. But the whole thing comes across like they had a budget of about $17, you know? It just seems – the exterior is great with James Bond Island in the South Pacific, you know, and all that. The externals are great. But as soon as they go inside, it's like they're in a – it doesn't even look like Pinewood or anything in London. It looks like they're in just some TV studio or something.
Or in some just cheesy 70s house in L.A. or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it just – that whole movie I thought could have been so much better – and what it ends up being. So, all right.
I'm going to spoil my next one here. I don't disagree with you. I have that next at 18. So, the other thing is, and in some of these, I'm biased against ones where Bond does not appear in the title sequence. And this is an example of that. It's all Scaramanga and the mob hit guy. Bond does not appear. And in this case, it's like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Absolutely. Your next one was a View to a Kill. Is that right?
I had View to a Kill at 19. Yes.
Okay. And we talked about that one. So let's see. My number 18. Now, this one may be controversial, but what the heck? My number 18. I really should have numbered these. I'm getting confused trying to figure out the number. I'm going to just start saying my next one. Is On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Oh, the heresy. Oh, kill him. How dare he, right? But no, I think that's probably the weakest part of that whole movie. And I know it's right out of the book. I mean, because the director basically filmed the book. But this is where Bond is kind of racing that other car along the mountain road to the beach. And then she gets out and she runs out in the water and I was never even sure what she was doing. When I was a kid, I'd never heard of somebody trying to commit suicide by going to the beach. I mean I thought you go to the beach to have fun. It never occurred to me. You go to the beach and just walk into the ocean and never come back. I'd never conceived of such a thing. Right. I didn't know what she,
I was going to say, it's also, I don't have it ranked a lot higher. I have a little bit higher, but it's also, it's not a great, they're racing in these cars and it's like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on until I got a lot older. And then he fights these guys, but you don't know who they are or why they're there. She runs away. Are these guys trying to kidnap her? You later figure out they're probably her dad's bodyguards trying to protect her, but then why are they trying to kill Bond? Because he was just trying to save her. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And then you get that line, right? This never happened to the other fellow. So, and that's kind of a lovable thing about Lazenby, but still, it wasn't enough to save that scene for me. So I love that movie, obviously. This, you know, On Her Majesty's Secret Service won our, I don't know if I mentioned this because we haven't done a James Bond show since we did it, but I have the Facebook group. I run the Facebook group Secret Agents and Super Spies. So if you're watching this and you're on Facebook, go to Secret Agents and Super Spies. I believe it's facebook.com/groups/agentsandspies, one word. And it's a lot of fun. We talk about different secret agent stuff, not just Bond. But we did the World Cup of James Bond films where we broke them up into groups just like they do the countries in the World Cup. And we had round robin play, and then we got down to single elimination brackets. And the ultimate winner was On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Really?
It beat from Russia. Yeah, it beat out From Russia with Love.
Hmm.
Yep. Okay, so that was number. I don't know.
That was your next one.
That was number eight. Yeah, that was number 18. Okay. So what is your number 18? You told me a second ago.
The Man with the Golden Gun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Yeah, again, don't you think that movie could have been so much better?
It could have been. And again, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of tattoo in the opening scene too. Like he's, Mr. Scaramanga, where am I hitting your gun?
I should have brought my little Tabasco on a tray down here, and I could have been like, Mr. Ringer, it's just. Because there is a scene where he comes walking out with a little silver tray and a towel over his arm, you know, and he's got Tabasco sauce. I'm thinking, product placement, a James Bond movie. How about that? I'm surprised he didn't have a Dr. Pepper sitting next to it with the label, you know. That was the period when there was a lot of product placement in James Bond movies. The billboards, you know, and the
product. You mean as opposed to now?
Well, see, now it's a little more classy. Now it's like the car he's driving or something like that. Back then it was like a giant 7-Up billboard that he'd throw Jaws through or something, you know. They've gotten a little classier. That's one thing I can say about the newer James Bond movies. I think it really started with the Pierce Brosnan ones. They got a lot more classy. I think they realize now that it's a prestige brand and they should only associate it with, you know, race cars and vodka and fine watches as opposed to 7-Up. things like that. Be right. Exactly. I think that was a smart move. Okay. So my number 17 to close out the group five is the opening sequence to You Only Live Twice. You get really two things in this. Now, again, this is my sentimental favorite Bond movie, right? We all know if you watched if you listened to our earlier episodes where we talked about all the Bond movies and we went through in excruciating detail, You Only Live Twice is my sentimental, heartfelt favorite. But the opening sequence really just kind of serves to set up the plot. It's not really one of those standalone, you know, grandstanding things like you'd get later. So you get the spaceship swallowing the you know, oh, I'm doing it on the screen now, and it's very effective when I use my two hands. I've got the music somewhere, but I'm not going to try to play it now. But you know how it's that. Yeah. And then you also get Bond in bed with a Chinese agent lady who jumps out of bed. They fold the bed up. And then the guys run away. And then the British soldiers come in and they find Bond lying there all riddled with bullets. And said something like, well, at least he went out on the job. He'd have wanted it this way. Which I give that credit, right? That's why I got it as high as I do. Because honestly, not much happens. And the whole thing was a setup anyway, because he wasn't really dead.
No.
It was just kind of silly. The whole thing was to justify the name of the movie being You Only Live Twice. Because the whole movie had nothing to do with him being dead and coming back to life. That was a throwaway thing at the beginning of the movie, right? And then they drove on. Except Fair. It gave Blofeld a chance later to say, you only live twice, Mr. Bond. Right. That was it. That was it. All right. So what's your number 17?
Next for me is Dr. No. I couldn't put it any okay. lower, but it's not great. I mean, especially when the other part is the older movies, when you watch the action sequences and you watch the new movies, it's a different planet. So,
yeah. Yeah. You have to kind of appreciate the sort of noir quality of the old ones. Cause you're not getting grandiose action. What I do appreciate, though, I'll say this, because I think that's a good point that you mentioned, and let me echo that. What I do appreciate about the sequences like that on the older movies, like the Sean Connery ones, is the editing was very crisp. So that even though they don't have these big action sequences like you get with Daniel Craig, they have a lot of quick cuts, and it keeps things moving. I mean, like, think about the last scene in Thunderball, when they're on the boat fighting as the boat's careening along toward the rocks and everything. I mean, they stretch that thing out and they cut out all the middle. So you get punch. I'm falling back. Punch. Action. Boat driving. Action. Punch. You know, it's just boom, 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 boom. So it's like they made up for their smaller budget and smaller action by making it really snappy. And I love the editing on those movies. I think editing is something that is under appreciated. So that gets us out of the fifth group into the fourth group. Things could get very interesting now. So that gets us down through 17. So let me see. Do you want to switch over now and you go first for a couple?
Sure.
Okay, so what do you have for 16?
Tomorrow Never Dies.
I have to stop and think. Oh, okay. So this is the Arms Bazaar.
Dalton, I believe it's an Arms Bazaar in Afghanistan.
Tomorrow Never Dies is Brosnan.
Brosnan, sorry. I knew it was one of those. And it's an Arms Bazaar in Central Asia somewhere. And he steals a jet, blows some stuff up. He has a dogfight with another jet, and he gets under it and shoots it with his ejection seat.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I have it coming up a bit higher. I like all the Brosnan ones better than most people do. Though I know
it was fine.
Even Die Another Day.
No,
I don't like it, but I have it higher, as we determined last time before that. Then do. You know, one of the things about that movie, though, talking about the Arms Bazaar and the arms dealer, is that this was one of those opportunities where they should have cast an Asian actor, because the computer hacker slash arms dealer guy, his name was Gupta, I believe. Is that not an Indian gentleman? I'm thinking Gupta. Just thinking, probably an Indian guy. And they have him played by, I can't think of the actor's name, but he's as white as anything. And that always kind of bugged me. I kept thinking, you know, they just missed an opportunity to kind of be a little more diverse here with the Bond movies, with the casting. It's too bad. So,
that's fair.
Let's see. Number 16. My number 16 is Octopussy. And I agree about the clowns and all that. I hate all that. The knife-throwing twins. But I like the little jet. And I like that it comes out of a horse's rear end. Hero likes that part too, right? Where the horse's rear end pops up and the jet goes, comes out, and he's flying around. But the one deduction I give him, you get all these spectacular jet flying around, jet flying through the warehouse and everything scenes. But at the very end, after he's dealt with everything, his plane runs out of fuel and he lands on like a country road, and the wings fold up vertical, and he taxis up to an old gas station and looks out at the old man in the rocking chair and says, "Fill her up." Oh, Roger. It's always got to turn out to be a joke, doesn't it?
It does.
Mm. All right. What's your number 15?
Thunderball.
Oh, that hurts my heart. Thunderball. Elucidate. Tell the people how you can dare do that.
Thunderball begins with a funeral of a Spectre agent. Bond is spying on the funeral, and he notices something about the widow as she gets in the car, and then he follows them back to her, to the widow's house. And when the widow comes in the room, he punches her in the face, so she's still wearing the veil. But it turns out it's actually the guy that's supposed to be dead, his enemy, Jacques Bouvier, or whatever his name is, French guy. And so Bond beats up this guy in a black dress who is pretending to be the widow at his own funeral. They basically have kind of a pretty brutal fist fight in a very nice French room, and then Bond runs outside and gets in a jetpack and flies away to the car and gets in a little car and drives away.
Heck yes, he does. And he shoots the oil out the back of the Aston Martin and everything.
Again, I mean, we're getting into the middle here, so I thought that was fine, but it's not like the best and it's not the worst.
It's kind of like, and this one comes, you know, before You Only Live Twice. This one could have been called You Only Die Twice, because the villain, you know, that guy whose initials were JB, but he's like Javier Bouvoir or something like
that. Well, I think they're messing with you at the beginning, because they show a casket with JB on it. You're like, oh no.
Right. And they love that joke so much, they turn around and made the whole next movie about it, which was You Only Live Twice. Oh boy. Good stuff though, but yeah. Okay. My number, let's see, 16, number 15, I guess, is The Living Daylights. This is the guys on Gibraltar. And I just thought it was, I guess, in terms of Timothy Dalton, it's about as good as he ever gets. So I guess that's probably why I have it ranked a little bit higher. But we already talked about that one. So going ahead to your number 14.
All right. Casino Royale.
Hey, we have a match.
Really?
Yes. Let's go ahead and just talk about this one together. What do you like about it?
It's, I mean, I like it because it's like the origin story of James Bond. You know, it's before he's 007. He's a regular agent. And he has to kill. He kills two guys who are, you know, one was a traitor. One was, the guy working with the traitor. And so it shows him before he gets 00 status. And they do, I think a lot of it's in black and white kind of. And the fights, but the fight scene in the bathroom is just brutal. I mean, it's just not a lot of technique. There's a lot of smashing each other's heads into sinks and stuff. So that's, it's really, really gritty and brutal and very different. So that's not bad, but it's also like, it's a fight scene in a, you know, in a bathroom with one guy, and then he goes in another guy's office and shoots him.
Right. That is precisely what I thought. It's like, on the one hand, it is a pretty brutal, well done fight sequence followed by a pretty cool little verbal exchange and shooting him. I give that credit. But on the other hand, that's all it is. And here's the thing for me that put it down this low is that in most Bond movies, the opening scene would have been what comes after this scene, which is that spectacular bit in Madagascar.
Yes.
The chase through the jungle, over the buildings, the crane, the construction site, into the embassy, blowing everybody up. That whole sequence right after the opening credits in Madagascar, if that was the opening sequence of this movie, it would be in my top five.
Oh, it might be number one for me. I love that scene. I love that the bad guy does the parkour all around the building. It's unbelievable.
We had never seen anything like that in a Bond movie before. That was one of the reasons I think that Casino Royale is absolutely, you know, I think we both have it up in our upper echelon of favorite Bond movies, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I agree. It would be, we would have this one ranked higher if that epic Madagascar chase had been the opening sequence, but I understand that they had to do it in the order they did. So that makes sense. Okay. So I believe next up is number 13. What you got for 13?
I have, You Only Live Twice, which you've already talked about with the spaceship thing.
Yeah. It's iconic. It's classic, but it's just not terribly exciting. Right. I mean, yeah. It's, my number 13 is Skyfall.
Oh,
I sense you have it a bit higher.
I do.
Okay. I like it. Okay. But it does unfortunately end with Bond being shot by Moneypenny, which I'm sure that, oh crap. What's her name?
I can't remember. Yeah.
I'm sure the actress that I know it, like I know my own name. I'm just blanking out right now, but I'm sure that the actress that played Moneypenny all those years and had to suffer through Sean Connery and suffer through Roger Moore with their, you know, smarmy treatment of her, I'm sure that she was like, Lois Maxwell. I'm sure Lois was like, yes, take him out. But yeah, it is a pretty good sequence. I give it, in fact, you know, I probably would have it a little bit higher, but gosh, there's some really good ones coming up, so. Plus, there's the fact that I don't like Skyfall in general.
Again, I'm not talking about the whole movie.
All right, we'll end it there. John and I will return next episode to finish out our countdown of the James Bond opening action sequences. Be sure to visit whiterocketbooks.com and check out all the latest books from our various authors. And otherwise, the rocket's going to get out of here for another week, and we'll see you down the road.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.